This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. My next guests are Mona Haidar and Sebastian Robbins, a married, millennial, Muslim-American couple who traveled the length of Route 66 for a limited series on PBS. It's called The Great Muslim-American Road Trip. Let's listen to the trailer for the show.
All he needed was a wheel in his hand and four on the road.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me. I mean, I also need you.
Aww. Yeah.
I'm Mona Haidar.
Woo, Mona! Where you going?
And this is my husband, Sebastian Robbins.
Hey, babe.
Hey, here we come.
We're on the road for 3 weeks.
Yeah, you think of Route 66, you think heartland.
Taking time out of our busy lives as parents, educators.
We're taking back the narrative.
And managing my music career.
Bonjour, I'm Mona Haidar.
To follow the Muslim thread woven through the fabric of our country.
Muslims have always been part of America since the colonial era.
And we're reconnecting with each other along the way.
What a miracle it was to meet you and to start our life together.
I do kiss you and hug you.
Oh, awkward.
We are taking the Great Muslim American Road Trip.
You just put a little fire in my belly.
On this episode,
the American story is the Muslim story.
That made me like giddy.
If you save one person's life, it's like you saved all of humanity.
She said, go take a shelter. Take a shelter now.
There's this person named Muhammad Ali,
yes,
who is a worldwide phenomenon.
The Great Muslim American Road Trip premiered last year on PBS, but it's still available for streaming on Passport if you're a supporter of your local PBS station. Because our conversation's on tape, we're not going to be taking calls, but let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Mona Haidar and Sebastian Robbins, thank you so much for being with us on the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, Mona, I want to begin with you. What prompted you to take this trip?
Like so many Americans, I think we were pretty in the pandemic. You know, a year ago, it was a time of homeschooling and virtual school and being with our kids nonstop. And Sebastian and I have been married for 8 years now, known each other almost a decade. And, you know, it was a moment where we wanted to reconnect and spend some time together. And we got a call saying, hey, we're interested in doing this idea. You guys want to take a road trip? And we jumped on the idea and we're really excited to see a part of the country, specifically the heartland, that neither one of us had really explored before.
I'm curious, what made the producers reach out to you? Was it your music career or your work as educators, or what was it that drew them to you?
I think it's a combination of things. In 2015, Sebastian had this idea to go out on the streets and talk to people. It was post San Bernardino and the Paris attacks, and so many terrible things were happening. And Sebastian just felt them deeply. I don't know, Sebastian, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, it was one of these crazy ideas that I couldn't quite get out of my mind, to try to give people an opportunity to break out of isolation, in some ways not too different from a moment we're experiencing now. So I got a couple dozen donuts and some coffee, and we went onto the streets of Boston on a cold December morning with a sign that said, talk to a Muslim. And I really had this idea to go out for an hour, take a couple of pictures, try to spread a little bit of hope. And in some ways, like the trip, it blossomed into something much bigger. And we ended up getting a lot of very nice attention and actually spawning people across the country to do similar projects. And this road trip was similar. As Mona said, it started off with quite an innocent and in some ways personal intention and blossomed and grew into something much bigger and frankly much more interesting than just the two of us driving across the country, listening to music, arguing and eating potato chips, which you do get to see. But we had these amazing encounters along the way. And that is really the heart of the show.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask, because I mean, it's one thing to take a road trip to, I think a lot of couples are looking after the pandemic to find some time away from their beloved children. It's quite another to find some time away from their children with a film crew. So were you at all ambivalent about that, or did that just sort of energize you on this?
You know, for me, I will say it was an exciting idea because there's so many scripted shows that are not reality. You know, they're called reality shows, but they aren't really. And this was an opportunity for us to be real and to be actually who we are, with folks, beautiful folks who were doing their jobs wonderfully, who happened to have cameras. So for us, I feel like it was an invitation to be authentic and genuine, and let people in on what we were going through. So it wasn't so much that it was like, you know, a film crew following us around and people telling us what to do and what to say, you know, because we're not actors. I really feel like people, when they watch, they'll feel connected in a way that you feel connected to just real people, because these are honestly real stories.
No, I mean, one imagines that some amount of pre-planning went into it, but it does really feel spontaneous. So you're following Route 66 from Chicago to L.A. One of your early stops is in central Illinois. You go to prayers at a mosque in Springfield, the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. And then you meet with Professor Kamau Kamayo from the University of Illinois, Springfield. And he talked about part of the show is finding the Muslim traces throughout American history. And he talked about who were some of the earliest Muslims in America. Mona, can you say more about that conversation?
Yeah, our conversation with him was just so beautiful. And he kind of schooled us on when Muslims really came to this land in large numbers. And that was during the transatlantic slave trade. Some estimates say that about a third of those folks who were enslaved, those Africans who were stolen from their homes, a third of them were Muslim and practicing Muslims and lived in vibrant communities and were educators and, you know, theologians and tradesmen and artisans. And they had these vibrant lives, and they were brought here against their will. And they, in a way, were stripped of their identities and their humanity. And one thing that I learned, actually growing up in Flint, being connected to so many beautiful Black Americans, was this kind of story that's told in the community, that the prayers of the ancestors are what brought so many Black Americans into Islam from the 1920s into the 1970s. And you saw such a huge rate of conversion in that community. And that was, in a way, it's described as the answered prayers of those ancestors who were brought over as Muslims, who were not allowed to practice their religion, who were not permitted to be a Muslim. But, you know, they made secret prayers that their progeny would be permitted to have that religious freedom that they were not allowed to have.
I have to say, I was a little embarrassed. I'd never quite made that connection with the African-American interest, as you describe it, in Islam in the mid-20th century, the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Ali, and you actually meet with his daughter early on the show. I've never made that connection with the transatlantic slave trade. Sebastian, you were not born into Islam. Well, can you share the story of how you came to share Mona's faith?
Yeah, I grew up with a mom who is a beautiful Christian and is a member of the choir in her Episcopal church. And I grew up going to church with her. And on my dad's side is a big, very diverse Jewish family that really runs the gamut of belief and faith. So I had these two markers in my life, but for some reason I did not find a home in either of those paths. And I spent a lot of my young adult life searching and seeking. And Islam was something that I knew something about because my best friend converted when we were teenagers. But meeting Mona was really sort of like an artist meeting their muse, someone who doesn't do the work for the artist, but might point the way. And Mona gave me the keys to explore this religion that, frankly, 10 years later, I'm still exploring. I still feel like I'm a student of Islam, and many, many, many Muslims, even those born into the faith, also share that feeling, which is one of the things that I really resonate with, this idea that you're on a path, you're always learning. But I found a home in this path, in this religion. And it's, in my view, it's another path up the same mountain that my mom is climbing, that my Jewish relatives are climbing, that all seekers and believers are climbing. And this show was a chance to actually go on a path, to go on a trip. And, you know, you say you felt embarrassed to not know this bit of history. That was really our experience from beginning to end, thinking we knew something, thinking we had some idea about our country, about the origins of our country, about the role of Islam in our country. And it was an experience of constant humility and being students at the feet of people like Professor Kamau, who you described. And, you know, our hope is that viewers can really learn with us as we get schooled, because this is not Mona and I pontificating with all of our, you know, expertise. It's really us on this journey and opening ourselves up and meeting people who get to, and we get to learn from them.
All right, we need to take a break. More with Sebastian Robbins and Mona Haydar. Their program on PBS is The Great Muslim American Road Trip. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it goes from St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City. Looks so, so pretty. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're listening back to my conversation with Mona Haydar and Sebastian Robbins, a married millennial Muslim American couple who traveled the length of Route 66 for a limited series on PBS. It's called The Great Muslim American Road Trip, and it premiered last summer, which is when we recorded this conversation. Mona and Sebastian began their journey in Chicago, stopped in central Illinois to pray at the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield, a mosque, and then headed for St. Louis, where they met with the historian Edward Curtis, whom, of course, we heard from earlier in our program today. Let's listen to an excerpt from that part of PBS's The Great Muslim American Road Trip.
I'm really glad that we could see that exhibit together. I don't think most people know that Muslims have been in St. Louis and, you know, right, in this part of America for as long as they have.
Yeah, you shared so much. Like, I had no idea.
Most Muslim immigrants trace their roots to after 1965. So they didn't, you know, there was no one there to pass on that old history. And so some of it was forgotten. But Muslims have always been part of America. Muslims are not somehow new or foreign to America.
Right.
But, I mean, you've got to take your time and do it right and see Route 66. And you'll discover that the American story is the Muslim story. And the Muslim story is the American story.
Another one of the people you meet, it's somebody we've actually spoken with on the show not long ago here, Edward Curtis. And you talk about the incredible diversity of American Muslims. Mona, can you talk about that aspect of your journey? And you really see it when you visit the mosque in Springfield. You go to a picnic in Joplin, Missouri, and a lot of doctors, a lot of physicians, not much career diversity there at that. It was a gathering of medical people, I guess. But just the range of national origins or heritage where people come from.
Yeah, that's one thing that is incredible about this land, is it really is a meeting place of people from all walks of life, not just ethnically, but, you know, the religious diversity. And on our travels, you know, we came across a multitude of people from ethnic backgrounds, from religious backgrounds. Even the diversity within the Muslim community for us on this journey, it wasn't new for me because I certainly grew up with that in my home community in Flint, Michigan. But it was just such a beautiful array. And for me, that honestly just builds so much gratitude into my daily life. And it allows me to stop, honestly, and to witness the fact that we were not brought into this world through a lens of uniformity. You know, our job is not to all be the same. And for me, that's really what I walked away with, that uniformity is not interesting. It's not important. But the thing that is important is unity, is coming together, and not even in spite of our differences, but in honoring our differences and saying we are different in these incredible and beautiful and important ways. And we come together in light of those differences and celebrating those differences and saying, and yet here we are together building community. You know, you said there wasn't much diversity in their jobs, but across the span of our, 2,500 mile journey on Route 66, we probably met people who did 100 different jobs and serve their local communities in 100 different ways. And it's just astounding, you know, to meet with people who are living their regular lives and trying to make the world more beautiful in their individual and unique way.
Mona, at one point on the trip, you meet a young woman who says how inspired she was to meet you, and you have this conversation about, you know, choosing to wear the hijab or not, and even though she doesn't, you do, you know, people still mark her out as different sometimes. And the young woman talked to you about representation and feeling represented in culture. Do you see that changing? Do you see that improving? Young Muslims seeing more of themselves in our society?
I love that question because it's so complex. Because representation certainly matters, but it's complicated because we live in a capitalist society that is really interested in exploiting psychology in order to make a dollar off of us, you know. And when Muslims see, when we see ourselves reflected in media, when we see ourselves reflected in, you know, advertising and that kind of thing, it's complicated because a part of our spiritual lives is actually meant to prevent us from, or protect us, I guess, from getting too caught up in those very materialistic goals, you know. And instead, we're meant to be on a path that is more inward focused, more inwardly focused, of creating a space of peace in the inner domain, as well as in the outer domain, and cultivating that peace inwardly, we believe, you know, creates that space outwardly. So when we get too engaged, you know, with designer goods and, you know, what's on TV, it can be difficult to create that inner peace, you know, always seeking to acquire more things. And that's actually from the Quran, you know, you are made busy by acquiring things. And it's kind of a warning to not be too engaged in that world. But there's always a silver lining. And I really believe that, you know, when young Muslim people see positive representation, hopefully it can affirm that they are good and beautiful, because so much of the media cycle is dedicated to telling them that they are other, that they are not, they don't belong, that they are not beautiful based on, you know, certain Western standards of beauty and things like that. And I know I'm getting a little too verbose about this, but it's such an important question. And we really do have to look at the cost benefit analysis when it comes to those kinds of things. Sometimes secrets are protected and they are kept hidden for a reason. You know, the goodness and beauty of Islam in a way is I mean, it feels weird saying this out loud and publicly, but it almost is like a secret. You have to look beyond the surface to see the beauty and to see the light, because the outward container is not beautiful to a lot of folks, and they don't see it as beautiful. And as soon as you get below that surface, you find the rich, fertile soil of contemplation, of meditation, of real deep spiritual practice. And, you know, for me, the show was an invitation to show people that, to let people see what the reality is.
That's a beautiful answer. Sebastian, do you see America differently than you did before you set off on this journey?
Definitely. You know, and I think Mona and I experience the world in very different ways. I'm a white male, you know, nominally Christian, who gets a lot of free pass in this world because I'm not visibly Muslim. I don't have a Muslim name. And I have a lot of privilege, and I've really come to recognize that over the last couple of decades. And so our life, our daily experience is quite different. And our journey in some ways was through each of our lens. I feel inspired really by the people we met on this trip, because it wasn't just sort of gathering information and learning history and getting schooled, like I said before. We did meet a lot of very highly, highly educated people who are willing to give that to us. And we're so grateful to them. But we also met people like Mariam Ali, the daughter of the great Muhammad Ali, and many other people along the way who are living their faith. And that's one of the things that keeps me energized and keeps me engaged in Islam, is the lived reality of one's belief in God. And you see this in every religion, where people take their faith in the unseen and bring it into the world. You know, I think Mona is more of the theologian. She went to seminary. She's more of the scholar. I'm like with the Muslim, Ask a Muslim booth. I'm much more of a extrovert. So I'm really interested in engaging with people. So one of the most powerful and unexpected stops we made was in Las Vegas, Nevada, of all places. We actually had to take a detour off Route 66, and we went through Las Vegas to visit a place called the Muslim Village. This is in a working class neighborhood of Las Vegas, literally in the shadows of the Las Vegas Strip. The huge gleaming casinos are in the background. This was a community center that started out of the trunk of Mama Nisa's car. She saw a need for fresh fruits and vegetables in her community, bought these foods with her own money and distributed them. What that evolved to was a vibrant community center that includes a library, a mosque, a free farmers market for the neighbors, a job training and housing program, and a center that welcomes men back home from incarceration with dignity. And this was almost a year ago, and we talk about this place almost every day. It was so powerful. And that sort of brought, I would say, service and faith and connection into real time, you know, out of history, out of books, and out of theory, and really is a fire for Mona and I to do something impactful with our very educational time on the road and bring it into the world. So yes, I feel very energized and very grateful for stops like that.
Mona, final question to you. And I want to end, maybe we've been talking about the broader picture, but this was also a personal journey for you and Sebastian. Did you learn anything about your relationship and your future together?
Yeah, and people will definitely see in the show that we do get on each other's nerves a little bit, and there's some eye rolling, and you know, it's not always sweet. But one thing that was really incredible was that we decided to take this journey together. And you know, we had this experience, this shared experience as a couple. And one thing it did was inspired us. It's such a small word for what I actually feel, but I feel invigorated towards actually living a life that is meaningful and impactful, and not in the way of like, I want to be wealthy or amass goods, but instead I want to make the world more beautiful. And I want to do that within the confines of my relationship, the way I am as a mother, the way I am as a wife and partner to Sebastian. And I just believe that that can be a mundane task that leads us all to enlightenment. You know, if we take every moment that we have, these small breaths that we're given and don't have to pay anything for, they're just gifted. Every single breath is just a gift. And really utilize these breaths, these moments, towards the cause of love, for the sake of love, for the sake of light in the world. You know, there's so much pain, there's so much difficulty, there's so much tragedy all around us all the time. You know, whether it's a mass shooting or it's poverty and inflation and just so much suffering. I really believe that this thing that we took on as a couple invited us into a deeper knowing of how we can be vehicles towards making the world better and more beautiful through just being alive, through being.
Mona Hadar and Sebastian Robbins, thank you for being with us on the 21st show.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on.
Mona Hadar and Sebastian Robbins are the presenters of The Great Muslim American Road Trip. It premiered last summer and is still available for viewing on the PBS Passport app if you're a supporter of your local public television station. And that's all the time we have for our show today. We leave you with Athira Fajrina's cover of Bobby Troup's Route 66. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk again on Monday.
Well, if you ever been to Motor West, drive on my way, that's the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66.